The Tom Woods Show, episode 2345.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. As the academic year winds down, it's time to start thinking about what you're going to do in the fall. And of course, I highly recommend the self-taught K through 12 Ron Paul curriculum. Not only will your kids get the real story about everything, but they'll also learn the kinds of practical things that they won't learn in the traditional school. For instance, how to be an effective public speaker, how to manage money, and how to run your own home business. And of course, when they reach the high school grades, they will be learning Western civilization and U.S. government from old Tom Woods here. But here's the most important thing. If you're going to join, make sure you join through my link, because only through my link do you get $160 worth of free bonuses. My link is ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Danny Hudson is with us today. He is with, and in fact, is the founder of the Tennessee Hot Sauce Company. And we have a lot to talk about. So, Danny, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tom.
All right. I want to start off with the COVID lockdowns before we get going on anything. And I want to tell a story before we jump into this. It does not have anything to do with the COVID lockdowns, but the same general principle applies that, you know, the expression of making lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Well, some people will have heard this story before, but for those who haven't, I want you to hear it. If you live in the Southeast, as I do, you may have heard of the establishment I'm going to talk about at the end of this story, but it goes like this. Back around maybe 2008-ish, when I lived in Auburn, Alabama, and I was physically in residence at the Mises Institute, I had a neighbor on my street, Elise Lane, E-L-I-S-E, Elise Lane in Auburn, Alabama is where I lived. I lived at 1507, and we had a neighbor who made the most delicious chicken salad you've ever tasted. I never even cared for chicken salad. Why would I eat this? It's like, it's okay, but there's so many other things I can eat. But her chicken salad, absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. And so we would buy it from her, like all the neighbors. She would sell it, and we were all too happy to have it. We could make sandwiches. We could put it on crackers, whatever. It was delicious. And then one day, there was no more chicken salad. And the reason was some chicken salad competitor had snitched on her that she was selling chicken salad, heaven forbid, out of her own kitchen. And so she didn't have like an industrial oven and she didn't meet all the various specifications for a food establishment. So she was ordered not to produce any more chicken salad for sale. And we just went berserk at the Mises Institute because everybody at the Institute was addicted to her chicken salad. What are we going to do now? So we wrote blog posts about it. It was like a big outrage. What happened? But then here's the lemonade out of lemons. She'd been thinking for a while, I really should dip my toe into the world of business and try to open my own restaurant centered around chicken salad. And so this particular moment when she was ordered not to produce any more chicken salad was the moment when she said, I'm doing it. And so it was this moment where it was not what she would have chosen. It wasn't the circumstance she would have chosen. But nevertheless, that was the time that she said, well, it's either now or never. I'm going to go do it. And now she has the chain you may be familiar with. It's called Chicken Salad Chick. And she has hundreds of locations. If I'm remembering this right, it is hugely successful. And if you're interested, by the way, I get no commission from this. I haven't spoken to her in years, but I've actually, I wouldn't do it now because there are a couple in my area. But if there isn't one in your area, there is a franchise opportunity. I think it's an absolute guaranteed success, because everybody is addicted to that chicken salad. I don't know what's in it, but it is delicious. And they're all different varieties. And the different varieties are named after her neighbors on our street. I think we were the one family who did not get a sandwich named after them. I am sorry to report. That's okay. Doesn't matter. Anyway, but that's a case where the circumstances were bad, but she made them good. At that moment, she decided, I'm going to give this a try. And it was a big, big success for her. So first of all, I just love telling that story, and you were the unfortunate victim of the story this particular time around.
Yeah, I love it.
But I think the COVID lockdowns may have coincided in some way with your decision to start your own thing.
Yeah, 100%. And I was fortunate and unfortunately lucky enough to graduate college back in 2007. And so my first two jobs I got laid off from because the economy was so bad. But what it kind of allowed me to do was to understand like that loyalty to self kind of thing, to where you kind of understand, hey, the time of going and working for a company for 40 years and retiring for a pension doesn't really exist anymore. And so you kind of have to look out for yourself in that regard. And so to your point, going into the COVID situation, it kind of brought that feeling back. So for us, obviously it was March, and then probably about late April, the company that I worked for, primarily my manager asked me if I had a few minutes to talk. I had worked for the guy for a year and a half, never had done this before. And so we hop on a meeting, and then he's like, hey, I'm going to bring on Rob, who's his boss. And I'm like, okay, I know what's going on. I've been around 2007, 2008. I know how this goes. And so we hop on the call. It turned out that it was just an org restructure. But when I got off the phone, I was talking with my wife, and currently we're a one income household. And so again, this is May 2020 timeframe. And I talked to my wife and I go, hey, that conversation totally could have gone the other way. And after listening to you and other people for so long, that was really the trigger that said, look, we can only do this for so long before the next conversation that comes around goes completely different and we're totally left out to dry. And then what do we do in that circumstance? And fortunately, I didn't get let go, but I know a lot of people did, and a lot of small businesses closed and that kind of thing. And so we were fortunate in that regard, but it really kind of helped plant the seed of what's next. If that conversation did go the other way, then what? I mean, unemployment's not going to pay our mortgage. We have 6 months or so worth in savings, but we don't know what these lockdowns are going to do. They furloughed a ton of people at our job. Fortunately, most of them came back, but the outcomes that they had were completely uncertain. And so you stay up at night thinking, okay, does my wife have to get a job? What is she going to be able to do? Where does this go? And so that was really the driving factor behind wanting to start our own business.
So you ended up starting a hot sauce company. Now, you sent me some samples, and in fact, you gave me the opportunity to choose out of, I think, four possibilities, which one I like best. And you would brand that as a special thing for my audience or something like that?
Exactly. And that's the part of the creativity part of it. And actually, the hot sauce business wasn't the first one that we launched. I worked in corporate finance for a long time. And so I actually looked at doing like a finance consulting business where we helped try to get people to understand how a P&L works, understand the finances of their businesses and their company. But I had done that for long enough. And so I didn't really want to do that anymore. It really wasn't as creative as I would have liked to have been. And so we kind of looked at doing that for about 6 months or so. And then when we were really about to pull the trigger and invest money, we were like, no, this isn't it. Yeah, that's not going to be it. So it was kind of a back to the drawing board kind of thing.
Well, how'd you pick? I think people would be curious who are thinking of starting a business. How did you pick hot sauce? Was that something you already knew about or were interested in?
No, I didn't know anything about hot sauce.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Other than I liked eating it.
Are you kidding me? I just assumed you were one of these hot sauce people, because I find hot sauce people in a way are like wine connoisseurs, because they'll talk about this or that flavor, or this is chocolatey, or this or that. And you think, I don't know if I'm tasting any of this, right?
Right. Or the craft beer people, you know, where they're like, oh, there's cranberries in here. And it's like, you don't put cranberries in here. How are you tasting cranberries? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the subtleties between one kind of hot sauce and another can sometimes be sort of like that. So I thought you were one of these. All right. So then the question takes on even more. I'm even more curious about it.
So I like to listen to your show while I'm out walking the dog, because it's, you know, get a little exercise, get some sun, that kind of thing. And I made a note of it, and it was episode 1872 in April of 2021. And it was with Stu McLaren, who you had on the show again fairly recently. And he was talking about subscription services. And one of the examples I think he used was like a lady that sold coat hangers, decorated coat hangers, and had like 35,000 subscribers or something like that. And I'm sitting there going, I'm like, this lady sends out coat hangers every month. I'm like, I got to be able to come up with kind of a...
Exactly. I think that was the point of that story. Right.
Right. Exactly. You know? And so I just started brainstorming up. And well, it turns out that one of the other Tom Woods supporting listeners here in Nashville makes his own hot sauce. And he had been doing it for a while and that kind of thing. And so I just reached out to him and I was like, hey, I understand the business side of it. I've worked in corporate finance for a long time. Let's see if we can get together and brainstorm on this. So I kind of put some figures and some numbers together and we met. We started working on some recipes and that kind of thing. But at the time, he also had a full-time job and a small child. And then he ended up having another one that was on the way. And so he basically said, hey, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to fully commit to this. So at that point, I had a dozen or so recipes in my back pocket. And I came home and I told my wife. And so she was like, well, do you want to give up on it too? And I go, absolutely not. I'm having way too much fun with this. And so she's like, okay, well, then don't give up on it. You know, don't quit. So that was all the motivation that we needed to really kind of kick it to that next stage.
Okay, so now I kind of get where the hot sauce angle comes from. But then, honestly, I don't know what it's like to run a physical product subscription service or how I would reach an audience that's that different from what I'm already trying to reach. So how do you get people to order your hot sauce? Because I don't think you advertised with me or anything.
So where we actually started before, as we came up with all these recipes, and this is one of the big things that's critical about a community, is that I went out to the farmer's market here in Nashville, and one of the hot sauce people that's out there, I just started picking their brain. And I was like, hey, you know, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And so I asked them, I was like, hey, can I bring you guys my sauce? And then before I dump a bunch of money in this, can you guys just like let me know that it's not garbage? Because I like it. I think it tastes pretty good. But as I'm starting to do research on this, I'd like to know that the product that I have is pretty solid. And so they're like, yeah, bring it on out, bring it on out. And so they tried it and they were like, no. They're like, you got to keep going. You put together some great stuff here. And so at that point, going through all the regulatory stuff, it took 6 months. But I had a buddy of mine who does a lot of the beer festivals in Nashville. And again, you know, this goes back to that importance of the community aspect of it. And he was like, well, hey, I've got a beer festival coming up in December. Why don't you come out and work at it, set up a table and sell some hot sauce? And at that point, I didn't have a website. I didn't have bottles. Like, I didn't have anything, but I'm like, well, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And so here I come in December and I've got like everything. Because he's like, well, we're going to have 1,000 people there. And I'm like, well, what if everybody there wants to buy my stuff? And so I brought every bottle and every shirt that I had and everything like that, completely overestimated, you know, what the demand was actually going to be. But it put cash in our pocket. It gave us a ton of market research just from getting people's feedback, which ones they liked the most, which ones they thought that we could tweak a little bit, make adjustments and that kind of thing. But what it really also started to do too was that we were able to start signing up people for our subscription. We didn't have a website, but these people were supportive enough and the community was strong enough to where they were like, yeah, we'll sign up for your list. And then whenever you're ready to go, you send out this email, you let us know, and then we'll be on the list to sign up. And so that was really kind of how we started. And then as the lady with the chicken salad, like you referenced earlier, we sold to people that were in our neighborhood. In our community here, we put some stuff on Facebook Marketplace and that kind of thing. And so we were able to get quite a few local sales just to have some cash flow, because even though you may not deal necessarily with a physical product, you know what it's like to have to write a check for an amount that you don't necessarily feel confident in on something that you may not know for sure if it's going to pay off. And so we were kind of at that stage where writing a check for $1,400 for bottles, we were thinking, well, we may not sell 1,400 bottles of hot sauce. But the community was strong. The community was very supportive. And we're very fortunate in that regard. And so we were able to start that cash flow, which was critical to really kind of get us going.
Yeah. And so you've done pretty well, would you say? Especially given that you have a small operation, you haven't been going all that long.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, last year we did a little less than $25,000 in sales, went probably close to 10 months. Or so. And that's really trying to get our bearings and that kind of thing. And so we've already been pacing pretty far ahead in 2023 versus where we were in 2022. So now we're at that stage where rather than ordering bottles from Amazon, we have a bottle supplier that's in Tennessee and we're getting packaging right, where now we're ordering it by the pallet and that kind of thing, rather than having to depend on friends and people in the hot sauce community to send us boxes and that kind of thing. And so things have definitely been ramping up, which has been very positive for us. And just fairly recently, the people that I work with for my primary job now know that we do hot sauce, that we have a hot sauce business. So there was those kind of weird conversations where people are like, oh, you don't just work here. You also own a business. And so those conversations were fun. But yeah, we've been doing great. The subscriptions have been going solid. they grew a little bit slower than we were expecting, but subscriptions generally tend to be a little bit harder when it's a product that involves consumption because not everybody consumes it at the same rate. And then, as you also know too, with your newsletters and kinds of things, you have to do ways to be able to keep people engaged and keep people involved and make sure that people continue to kind of support you with that. So it makes you kind of have to think not just a month ahead of what event you're going to be working at, but we're having to plan a year out of what surprise sauces that we're going to send our subscribers so they don't get bored and go and sample some of the 10,000 other hot sauces that get out there.
Right. I like to try to get lessons that we can convey to other people, things not to do, obstacles we face that maybe if you're aware of them, you won't face them, or regulatory problems we weren't aware of. Do you have anything like that?
Yeah, the regulatory issue was fairly significant. It took us about 6 months to go kind of from concept up to where we were even legally allowed to sell the first bottle. And I know the people that are in your audience are probably poo-pooing at that, kind of saying, oh, well, go around that or whatever. But our thought process was is that for us to be able to have a website, to be able to sell wholesale across state lines, we're going to have to meet certain thresholds and certain requirements because those are the kinds of things that people are going to ask for, as opposed to just being able to sell out of our trunk. And so when we first started the idea, which wasn't too long after that episode that you did with Stu, we had to go through courses through the University of Tennessee for acidified foods. We had to send all of our samples off to labs for testing. We had to have all of our labels approved. The Department of Agriculture had to come out and watch us cook to make sure that we met certain thresholds. We had to have a recall plan. You know, all of these things where most people say whenever they're going to start a business, right, that it feels like it's kind of two steps forward and one step back. And it really felt like that for a long time. But what we've also been able to do is pivot it to a liberty and a freedom standpoint too, because when people are talking about and asking this same question, I tell people, I mean, it was probably $2,500 that we had to invest into this business, including all of those fees, before we were ever even able to sell our first bottle. And so I tend to position that from a standpoint of saying, there might be somebody that makes the best hot sauce in the world, but because they don't have $2,500, you're never going to be able to taste it because they don't have that capital to be able to invest to get past those barriers of entry and overstep those hurdles. And so people are open to that message and they're open to receiving that because a lot of people don't understand. We have bakers that live in our neighborhood and people that make candles, and they can bake out of their house because cottage laws apply to them, but acidified foods and hot sauce, they don't. And so we had to find a community kitchen, and they give you a list, but what they don't tell you is that the list out of 10, the first 9 that we called weren't taking new customers. And we got lucky for the last one, but if that kitchen wasn't accepting new customers, we wouldn't even have had any place to be able to even make it. And so that would have put a huge kink in the plans before we even got the chance. So a lot of those issues, and you just have to be patient. That's the big thing, because again, a lot of us are very familiar with how government operates, and the people that are helping you out are nice, but they're just doing their job, right? They're not there to try to help give you a leg up to help you think, oh, well, if you do it this way or that way, they're just saying, this is the rule. This is what you have to do. And so you have to be patient. You have to understand where they are. And the other big thing, at least as far as, and I'm sure this is probably the same thing with you, especially when you were starting. I know you tell the story from years and years ago when you were starting to write, you know, you have to be humble because you're going to start thinking, oh man, I'm doing this really well. I'm doing that really well. And then people are going to come down and they're going to give you that humble pie, you know, and they're going to smack you back down to reality. We had a friend of ours who we posted some pictures of all of our boxes that we were getting sent out. And he texted me and he was like, hey, how many bottles do you put in that box? And I told him, and he's like, what the hell are you doing, man? And I go, what do you mean? I'm sending these out to customers. And he's like, you're paying for those boxes and you're spending way too much money on shipping. He's like, do X, Y, and Z, and you're going to save 30% on your shipping costs. And you're just like, okay, I'm gonna follow the advice that you're telling me here. And sure enough, it ended up helping us save a ton of money.
There are pros and cons to all this. I mean, for me, the pros way outweigh the cons. But there are cons.
Sure.
And one con is that if you make this your full-time gig, I mean, it's one thing to have something on the side. I think you're out of your mind if you don't have at least something on the side for sure. Hard times, or when you turn 55 and you get the pink slip, you really don't want to try to go back on the job market. It's hard, you know? It'd be nice to have something else going. But supposing you make it your full-time thing, there are drawbacks. And one of them is, if my traditional employer goes through a hard time but comes out of it the other side, I don't really feel it at all because I still get my salary. But if I go through a hard time, I feel it a lot. So there are things that the employer absorbs that you would otherwise have to absorb, or the ups and downs of the market. Well, generally, yeah, maybe one year you won't get a bonus or something, but they don't affect you as much because you get the regular pay. So there's the uncertainty. You're bearing a lot more uncertainty than you would in a traditional employment. So how do you weigh these pros and cons?
No, that's a perfect question, because we actually just really started weighing those a few months back. We were crunching the numbers and we were thinking, well, what would we need to do to be able to take this full time? And then I would say probably about, like I said, 3 or 4 months ago, my wife and I were talking and we were like, I don't think we want to do that unless we had to. And to your point, those additional risks were a big driving factor. But the other driving factor was, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening can probably relate to this, is we don't really want to put ourselves in a position where we have to hire anybody, because it throws another huge aspect of the business where now we're having to focus on trying to hire somebody. And so we're trying to find somebody who can fit, but that they're also passionate about it the way we are, which the likelihood of that is zero. And then it's turnover, and then having to try to find somebody else. And so we were thinking it's better for us to be able to outsource production, right, to a co-packer, and maybe we handle distribution or something along those lines, because that's a big piece of it that we don't think, at least at this stage, that we want to take on, just because the risks are there. But then all that additional headache also exists. And I'm sure there's a lot of small business owners that are listening that can totally relate to that. And just that aspect of employing people in that regard. I mean, we're fortunate enough to where we're confident enough in the product. We love the community. The community is very strong. The hot sauce community is a lot like the craft brew industry. And so we're confident enough in the product, when we're confident enough in how we're running it and our competency. But we think that if we ended up hitting that threshold, it wouldn't be nearly as enjoyable, because half the time would be spent dealing with headaches that we just don't want to end up having to deal with.
Let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Omaha Steaks. Father's Day is here. You got to hurry up and get him a great gift, because if you wait too long, it's going to be another pair of socks and another number one dad t-shirt. Dad deserves better than that. And you and I know dads want steaks. Your dad will be the envy of your neighborhood if you get him what he really wants. And that is the dad's favorite gift package from Omaha Steaks. So for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com, enter code WOODS into the search bar, you'll be able to order that dad's favorite gift package for just $99.99. Plus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with your order. Save over 60% on the dad's favorite grill pack, and you will get 4 bacon-wrapped fillets, 4 delicious boneless chicken breasts, 4 boneless pork chops, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha Steaks seasoning. Plus, the 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers, all for just $99.99. We in the Woods household have been enjoying Omaha Steaks for probably a dozen years. You will love them too. So don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Woods into the search bar, and order the dad's favorite gift package for Father's Day today. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword Woods. You seem to be engaged maybe like with local libertarians in some way, because I know you know Dave Benner. Mm-hmm. So if you know Dave Benner, that means you're plugged in my book.
Yeah, right. So yeah, we trade hot sauce for books, by the way. I get his books from him and he autographs them and writes me a little note and I give him hot sauce as payment.
Yeah, okay. That'd be great. That's fantastic. Yeah. I would like to see us helping each other in areas like this. And you know, if somebody has a lousy product, I'm not saying you got to go buy it from him because he's a libertarian, but I feel like we're really outnumbered in every conceivable metric. And so why not help each other out when we can? So I'd like it, you know, it'd be nice if libertarians would get together and not just socially or to work on some petition for signatures or something, but it'd be nice to see even informally, networks form where everybody understands this is my business, this is my business, this is my business. And if you need something done, bring it to me and I'll do it for you.
Yeah, 100%. And so you bring up a good point, because one of the other discussions that I've had with some of the LPTN guys, they're going to be out at Freedom Fest in July. I think it's July 12th to the 15th. They're going to yell at me if I get the dates wrong, but they're going to be out there. And so they were like, hey, you know, we've got a table. If you want to come out and sell some sauce with us, help us man the table, you know, and that kind of thing, you can come out. Another example is Fox and Sons, who's another coffee guy that's in the Liberty Movement. I was going to reach out to him. So if he's listening, surprise, but I was going to reach out to him and do kind of a collaboration, make a coffee-based sauce and bring somebody else in that's from the community to kind of help bring the two groups together, right? And increase that pie and hopefully help kind of make everybody's situation better. Because you're right. I mean, it's critical. And part of the idea too that I thought would be very beneficial for your audience is that there's probably 100 people that are sitting at home that probably have an idea that would not only benefit themselves tremendously, but the Liberty Movement as a whole, your audience as a whole, the supporting listeners group as a whole, the School for Life as a whole, whoever that might be, and really kind of help bring a lot of additional value and see that, hey, you know, this schmuck from Nashville made a hot sauce business. Why can't I go and do something else and really kind of help create that value there as well?
Well, that is great to hear. What else? What am I missing about your story that you want to share?
The other big thing too that I would say that I think is really important that I think you can relate to too is don't be afraid to kind of rely on people who are experts. I'm sure you probably give so much advice to other people that come and they say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this or I'm thinking about doing that. And you'll help them out and give them advice and suggestions and things. And I think that's a big thing as far as getting started, because for me, that was crucial. Going to the farmer's market and getting feedback on my product from people that had done it before, right? That was their full-time job. And so don't be afraid to reach out to people that are in the community, because for the most part, people that are out there, they want to help you, right? Like they want to give you good advice and they want to see you succeed. And I think that's a big misconception that a lot of people have, is that they see those other people out there as competitors. And it is true to a certain extent. But at the same time, too, a lot of those people, they want to see you do better. And I think that's a big message that a lot of people, especially in the Liberty Movement, where you do have a lot of individuals, you know, you have a lot of people that are very individualistic. And I totally get that. That was crucial for getting us going. And I'm sure a lot of other small business owners, and you probably have a story too, where you were starting to write, you hit that roadblock and you had somebody there that you were able to lean on that was able to give you that kind of advice and those kinds of suggestions that really kind of helped to propel you going forward.
What is your website?
Sure. It's tnhotsauceco.com. We were originally going to spell out Tennessee, but a lot of people can't spell Tennessee.
And we can all spell Mississippi because of whatever that stupid game was.
Right.
Yeah. Forget about Tennessee. And also, yeah, you're just pushing it after a certain number of characters anyway because of the possibility of typos. And so you probably did the best you could under the circumstances.
Exactly. Yep. And so tnhotsauceco.com is the site. And that's the way we are too on all the social media platforms. And we do have our Woods promo that we basically kept ever since you gave us the plug on your show around the time that we got started. So the promo code Woods, it's 10% off everything. And then if you do sign up for the subscription, we do have some of the Set Fire to the Index Card Tom Woods special sauce too that we'll give away to those guys.
Excellent. Excellent. Now that is a nice deal. I've got people now saying to me, you know, even on random websites, when I'm buying something on the checkout page, I figure, what the heck? I'll type in Woods and see if anything happens. You know, maybe Woods has some connection to these people. I don't know.
What's the harm? Yeah.
Okay. So I'll also have your website on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/2345. Well, I hope you have, now that you've gotten all the really annoying stuff out of the way and you're starting to learn how to build and find an audience and so on and so forth, I hope you have tremendous success and you can come back and talk about your terrific growth.
Yeah, no, I love it, Tom. Thank you for having me on. And hopefully a few people out there are going to get something out of this and they're going to be like, hey, Tom, thanks to that episode, I got my business up and going.
Yes. That always makes me happy. And so I was very, very happy in your case. I have the t-shirt too.
Perfect. I know you're not a t-shirt guy, but I wanted to send you one anyway.
But when I go to the gym, what am I going to do? Wear a, you know, an Oxford shirt? You know, I got to, I wear the t-shirt there. And so at the very least, my trainer knows about your hot sauce company.
Perfect.
And the thing is, what I often do is I run errands after that. So when I'm around town, I do have it on. So there you go. I got your hot sauce shirt.
We have had a couple random orders pop up too, like in that area of Central Florida. We lived there for a long time, so we thought maybe it was somebody that we knew that way. But at this point, I'm going to give all those credit to you. You're the one that's going to get credit for all those now.
Oh, you're a good man. You're a good man. Well, I hope it keeps on building for you. I'm glad you stepped out of your comfort zone to do it. And, you know, it seems to me, by the way, is it safe to say that despite all the roadblocks that now we hope are just in the past, would you say you're enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, no, I love it. It's a lot of fun. The creativity that's able to go into it that I don't get out of my normal job alone is there. And that alone kind of makes up for it. To your earlier point, we also don't depend on it to pay the mortgage. And so that also helps. But no, I love it. It's a lot of fun. Even waking up at 5:30, 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday mornings to go into the kitchen and make it, I still look forward to it. And part of it too is you're in the kitchen, right? You're an industrial kitchen. You're next to people that are working with their hands. It's a very different atmosphere than my normal job where I'm sitting in front of a computer screen all day long. So it's just a different group of people. No one in there is talking about politics or anything like that. What they're talking about is don't burn my food and that kind of thing. Like, it's just a different environment. And if I didn't have that, I think I'd miss it.
Well, again, the website TN for Tennessee, tnhotsauceco.com. Check it out. Give Danny some business and get yourself some great hot sauce made by a good guy. Thanks again, Danny.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.